shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. A big thank you to Paul Gilmartin. I was on his podcast. It's called The Mental Health Happy Hour. Look for it, because there's stuff that I divulge on this interview with Paul. And what he does, he's a comic, but what he does is he interviews people from the entertainment business, but it's a real in-depth discussion of what makes you, what was your childhood like, and what makes you tick, and what makes you not tick, and what makes you talk, as in TikTok, only tick, T-I-C-K, talk, T-A-L, never mind. All right, we have news to report this evening of a cultural nature, and it occurred at the Coachella Valley Music Festival. Quite a moment, a technological moment, and one that was tweeted and one that went viral, and all of those terms that you hear, those are significant terms, because it essentially means that there's something afoot in the culture, and it's boom, it's exploded. This has got really not so much to do with music as it does with the technology that was involved in creating a hologram. And when I say hologram, I mean that in every sense of the Star Trek term. You're looking at a three-dimensional figure moving around and seemingly interacting with real people. And that's what happened in Coachella at the music festival there, where they have 75,000 people out to see a lot of different acts. I think Radiohead played Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, and a hologram of Tupac Shakur. And to talk with us about that is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and the Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization. Not exactly a person I'm going to get on the air with, Bobby, to talk about Tupac Shakur and hip hop, but you saw it, right?
Well, we did see it, Phil, and we're very involved in. We're very much involved in youth culture. We have three sons, and it just so happens that Steve and I are interested in the things that our sons are interested in. We didn't say, oh, let's get interested in hip-hop because that's going to be something our kids are going to be interested in. We just naturally are, I guess you could say, we tend in those directions. We think young. I like to think that we take care of ourselves to the point where we look young. And I don't mean that in the literal sense, but
as young as you can look.
As young as we can look, yeah. And not a lot of parents do that. I see a lot of parents who really aren't, they're not with it. They're not with what the kids are, dancing to and interested in. And Steve and I are.
So did you? You weren't at the show. I mean, the concert.
No, we were not. We were not in Coachella because of the things that we had. We had commitments here. Otherwise, we would have been there. We go to the concerts, and again, we don't go to these concerts so that we look like we're all young. And we go because it just happens to be something that we like.
So are you, would you say that your two parents then, you have sons, what are the ages of your sons?
Dylan, Seth, and Justin, and they're all in high school now. Justin is our youngest, he's 14. Seth is a junior at 16, and Dylan is a senior at 17.
And are they all hip-hop fans?
I don't think you'll find a kid today, Phil, that isn't. They love all of it. It changes, as you know. The different artists, they like Lil Wayne, and I don't know, Steve, you've heard
Lil Wayne and Drake.
They like Drake, and groups like that, and Nicki Minaj, they like, and so I think, but the kids like.
Do they like Radiohead?
I think Radiohead is a little older. They're more into, Buck Cherry, I think, and Steve likes Buck Cherry. I like. What's the group that I like? Three Doors Down. I like Three Doors Down. So, who do you like, Steve?
I like Buck Cherry, and also, yeah.
So, I don't think you're going to find a lot of parents that can talk with you the way I'm talking with you right now, that we know these groups. I don't have to go ask my son, Dylan, what's the name of a group that I would like? No, we already know what we like. And
but you weren't at the concert, so I'm wondering how it is that you saw the Tupac hologram.
Well, it was on Ustream.
Yeah, they had the whole show on Ustream. I haven't looked there.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you watched it on video?
Yeah, we watched it on Ustream, and it was wonderful. We did see Radiohead, by the way, on Ustream, but when the Tupac hologram happened, it was, Phil, it's hard to describe this for people that probably don't get it, but, and I tried to talk to some of the parents here when we had our meeting, we had a homeowners meeting, this morning, and we're going to have another one tomorrow, and I tried this morning, and probably I shouldn't have. I tried to tell the parents, a lot of the older people assembled, we saw a hologram of Tupac, and they're all, you know, who's Tupac? And I just sort of waved my hand, and I said, let's get down to business.
It sort of stands to reason they're not going to know, some of them.
I know, but, you know, hope springs eternal, as Steve said.
Yeah, you always hope that maybe one of them isn't so lame.
But, you know, a lot of them are lame, and I mean that, you know, in the kindest possible way, but a lot of them are pretty lame. So
when you brought up this hologram, and I want to get back to watching this hologram, but I'm just interested. When you brought this hologram up at your homeowners association meeting, this hologram of Tupac at the Coachella Valley Music Festival, what the response was, they didn't know who he was.
Yeah, it was what you would expect. Because parents like Steve and I we're pretty rare. You know, there just aren't a lot of parents like us who are with it and understand and get it about all of the different hip-hop and the music. So I thought, well, let's try it. Let's roll the dice and see if there's anybody in this meeting that Steve and I, just forget about the kids, that Steve and I could actually have, you know, a friendship with, a relationship with, apart from me being the Homeowners Association president, because as the Homeowners Association president, I have to be in touch with everyone, even if they're people that, you know, they don't really get it about a lot of the youth culture.
Yeah, but you got to be friendly with them because they're kids.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You have to be friendly with them.
You have to be friendly with them because of the kids. They interact.
Okay.
So I rolled the dice, and I said, Steve and I saw the Tupac hologram. Nothing. So that's when I just backed off.
So you looked out there and no one understood. Did you bother to, I guess, you know, you could explain it.
Well, you could, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could.
It's a waste of your time, I guess. But let's get back to...
It really is a big waste of time.
Let's get back to the hologram. So tell me about it. And from your perspective watching this, it interacted with Snoop Dogg, correct?
Yeah, you just said that. Sort of like a lot of the parents. I don't mean anything by that. It interacted. He sounded kind of awkward there.
It interacted in the sense that it was dancing.
But you don't really want to call it because it was Tupac, as we all remember him, dancing. And then Snoop Dogg came out, and he rapped along with the Tupac hologram, who also rapped, but it was together.
I remember Natalie Cole doing "Unforgettable" with her father, Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, but.
But what was that again, Phil?
It was Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Well, he was a very, very big singer in the 50s.
That's way before.
But I mean, the song came out. Natalie Cole is his daughter, is what I'm saying, and she re-recorded this as a duet with her father, who has passed on.
Well, I guess yeah. In a way, it was sort of like that. I don't know the people you're talking about. I don't want to compare it to that because this was Tupac Shakur and Snoop Dogg. This was monumental, and I don't know what you're talking about. Whether that.
Well, it certainly was not a hologram. What it was to bring to life Nat King Cole for one more go-round, along with the voice of his daughter. It was rather moving. It was significant. Here's his daughter singing with him. He's passed on. So the image, or excuse me, the illusion, I guess, of him being alive.
Well, it's a recording, though, right?
Yeah, they recorded it.
Yeah, it's a recording, but then so is the Tupac hologram.
Well, but the difference is you're not going, oh, look, that's a recording. You're going, oh, my God. Because when I saw it, and you can ask Steve, I remember I called out to Steve. I said, Steve, and he came running in. And I was feeling, I could feel my heart racing. I felt my hands getting a little clammy. And I literally had to hold on to my husband for support. I thought I was going to not faint, but I just had that sense of, my God, I'm looking at history. Am I really here? Am I real?
Yeah, that's something you can't explain to a lot of parents here.
A lot of the people that live here just don't really get it about, you know, being with it as a parent and...
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about it with Bobby and Steve Dooley here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Hang on, Bobby and Steve, as they are discussing with us being the only two parents there at Western Estates and maybe in their kids' school that sort of get it about hip-hop music. They like a lot of it. They listen to a lot of it, I guess. And this past weekend, a technologic first, I believe... Tupac Shakur was on stage at the Coachella Valley Music Festival as a hologram. Now, this man has been dead and buried for many years, over a decade, and yet there he was hologram style on stage, and it was quite a conversation starter around the internet over the weekend. Our number is 877-876-7445. If you're one of those parents that would have stared at the Dooleys with your jaw open like, what do you mean by a hologram of Tupac? Or maybe you get it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us on the line from Western Estates, California, as we talk about the Tupac Shakur appearance as a hologram. And Bobby, you wanted to make a point about the talk radio audience?
You want to do that?
Yeah, no, I'll do it. The point that I wanted to make with your audience, Phil, and a lot of the talk radio that I have that I do. I was on the Ken Burmeister show on KABC, was it?
Yeah, go up there.
And you really have to slow down, and I'm not saying talk radio audiences are not intelligent, but culturally, I find a lot of them are not up to speed, and then... When you put on top of that the fact that I'm a parent, Steve is a parent, and there may be other parents out there who are really very much with it in terms of the youth culture. We have the kids to our house. We let our kids listen to hip-hop because, you know, we like it too. We have moral dilemmas. We want to remain friends with our kids, and we want to remain friends with our kids' friends. You know, we want our house to be the house that the kids come to. Does that mean, and please understand what I'm saying here, Phil, because it really, you know, it's something that needs to be heard very carefully. Does that mean that we tolerate a little bit of, I wouldn't call it drug use.
What's that about marijuana?
The marijuana use, yeah, weed, as the kids call it, or kush, or chronic. The kids will say, we want to blast up. The kids will say, herb. Those terms. We use the term herb.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You tolerate the smoking of weed?
I don't want to say that we do. I don't want to say that we don't. What we do is we don't come down on the kids. Like, you know, like the kids will say, like the man.
Yeah, we don't bust down on them like the man.
And we don't...
I'm having a hard time hearing your husband. I didn't hear you, sir.
What Steve basically said was, we don't bust down on the kids like the man.
Like the man? Like the police?
Like the police, yeah. Where do you draw the line when you are a very relevant parent, when you are very much very relevant and you're friends with your kids, Where do you draw the line? Where do you say, you know what, I don't want you to smoke what is really a very harmless drug, the herb.
Well, I mean, harmless drug. First of all, regardless of whether it's a harmless drug...
Hold on for that, because, you know, and you know that I love you, Phil, but when we came on the program tonight, we really didn't want to be lectured to, and here's why. Let me just say...
Well, I'm not lecturing. I'm giving an opinion.
You know, but here's why. Let me tell you. We're pretty confident in our opinions. I know a lot of people need to learn, and a lot of people still need to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, we're not like
that. We're not like that. And so we're very grateful for the ability to, I guess, be clear enough and to see our way and to be able to say, you know what, I get it about hip-hop and I get it about herb. And if the kids smoke it around me, it's going to be okay. I would hate to see these kids smoke beer around some of these adults that I know.
Yeah, well, they'd call the police.
Yeah, these adults would probably either call the police or would be just degenerate alcoholics. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. Well, they call the police. That sounds like the thing that anybody would do if they saw the law being broken, especially, is this at your house?
Where?
When you let kids smoke weed, are they smoking weed at your house?
You know, we don't want to get into that because I'll tell you why, Phil.
Well, I don't blame you because, I'm going to take that as a yes.
No, you can't take that as a yes because I didn't say yes. I said I'm not going to discuss that.
If I say to you, do the kids smoke weed at your house, and you say I'm not going to discuss that, I dare say people are going to take that as a yes.
Well, it's up to you, Mr. Henry, the moderator of the show.
To be the moderator of the show. And
what do you mean to be the moderator of the show? What do you want me to say? Do you want me to say that?
Well, I would expect you to say Ms. Dooley did not say yes. She didn't say no. What she said was, I don't want to discuss that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us here from Western Estates. Let's get Lloyd on the line. Lloyd, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, Phil, I've enjoyed your program as usual, and we always listen to it. We're on our way to a rosary this evening for a very dear man, Bill Tootin, who died and was a Navy buddy of mine in Korea. And I just want to mention his name.
Who is the man?
I'm sorry?
Who is the man's name that you said?
And who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley.
Yes, well, I called in to speak to you, ma'am, about the use of marijuana on your property. We have a property line.
Yes, I wanted to know who the man was.
Okay, but you need to back off your phone, Bobby.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The man that died?
Yeah, who's the man? He said the old guy died.
Yes, some old guy. He was a Korean War buddy of mine from the United States Navy, Bill Hubbard, a very dear friend.
Oh, did he die in the war?
No, he did not die in the war.
He just died now. They're going to a rosary for the man tonight. They're on their way to a rosary.
I'm not familiar with that.
We don't know what that is. I'm sorry, sir.
Are you Catholic?
No.
Well, I'm not either, but Bill was, and this is what Catholics do before there's a formal burial.
Yeah, the body stays out with an open everything?
What did you ask me, sir?
Is the body out?
Do they keep the lid open for the 2 days?
You know,
Hold on for a minute, Lloyd. I'll get back to you. Those are questions that you don't need to ask, Ms. Dooley. It says a rosary is a Catholic, it is a form of a memoriam to a person who's passed on. People say the rosary as the casket is there. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it isn't. And then there is a formal funeral, either the day or the next day after that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on youth culture and being a hip or with it parent. They like Tupac and they saw the hologram, and the other parents at Western Estates don't get it. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
What they do, right?
No, I don't.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to get back to Lloyd here and finish up his phone call. So, sir, you wanted to continue your point. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My comment was simply this. I don't think the smoking of this woman calls it the herb, or whatever you call it, it is not appropriate, and it's illegal. And let me underline the word illegal to...
We understand that.
You know, it's like somebody, you know, come around the corner and narc on it.
What do you mean by narc? You have to be... You don't know what narc means.
No, I know what it means, but you've got to act like adults. You can't act as if you're standing on the playground, you know...
Well, it's not a playground. The kids are high school. You really have... Are you... And you don't sound as if you are, but do you listen to the hip-hop?
No, I don't listen to hip-hop. I don't listen to that. I listen to the music that I listen to. What do you listen to? Well, that's not germane to the topic, sir.
It's not what?
It's not germane, and I agree with him. It's not relevant.
Bebop and heroin. I beg your pardon, sir? I said bebop.
The bebop musicians, they did heroin.
There was a few of them that monkeyed around with that, but they weren't all drug addicts. I think it's wrong to say that because these jazz guys that I listened to as a young man, some of them might have smoked, you know, marijuana, or they used heroin, as you say, but that's not all of them, as opposed to now, isn't it most of them?
That would be extreme, too. Lloyd, I got to get going.
Well, my point is, I think these people are irresponsible.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your opinion, but I just don't think, you know, I don't even know if it's worth it to talk to that man. Because
yeah, he sounds old.
He just sounds a little old.
Well, you know what? He may be old, but you know, there's a lot of grandparents that are raising their teenagers. They're raising the kids of their children because, you know, it's more and more we see that. So let's not make that assumption, you know, that old people...
What do you mean they're raising the children of their grandkids?
No, many grandparents find themselves taking in their grandchildren because their children, the parents of those children, are drug addicts. Losers, bums, slobs. Who knows what happened to them?
But he said that.
You know what I'm saying. The parents of the children, the grandchildren. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over to Hazel on the Phil Henry Show. Hazel, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Excuse
Hi.
My voice. I have pneumonia, but I had to get out of bed to contradict these pompous, patronizing people. You know, I listen to you every night. Now, I hardly ever agree with you, but I listen because you're so interesting. These people didn't know who the Poles were. I doubt if they would know Tchaikovsky or Chopin or any others, yet they scoff at anybody who doesn't know about a thug who got murdered. But forget about his reputation. We're not talking about him. If I lived in their condominium or where
cruel.
They live, I would
move
so fast. How could anyone stand talking to them?
Mm-hmm.
They're just impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so know-it-all that you want to vomit. And that's, I know that
I beg your pardon.
So forgive me.
I beg your pardon.
I can't talk to this woman. She's absolutely ignorant, and
well,
I hope her children
don't know
grow up all right.
Modern culture.
But, you know, she's
you
a moron.
You don't know about modern culture.
And thanks for listening, Phil. Bye.
You don't know about modern culture. How rude of her just to talk and not even talk to me.
God, she don't have the guts.
You don't have the guts. And I don't know, Phil, if you ever remember a film that was done by Nevada Smith.
You mean the movie was Nevada Smith?
Yeah, what the...
Steve, do it.
Yeah, at the very end, Carl Malden goes, you're yellow, you haven't got the gut.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have seen Nevada Smith.
At the end, Carl Malden yells to, who is it, Steve?
Steve McQueen,
and he says, you're yellow, and I know, Steve, you wrote it out. You're yellow, you haven't got the guts.
That's where that lady.
That, exactly. That woman that I just spoke to reminds me of that film where,
Yeah, I know. Steve McQueen's riding away, and he's just shot Carl Malden in the knee. So it's like a scene of torture, and he won't kill him. He won't put him out of his misery. And that's when Carl Malden yells at him and says, you haven't got the guts to kill me. And trying to get him to kill him, and he won't do it. 877-876-PHIL.
So you're familiar with the movie?
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I don't think you could apply it to that phone caller, but I mean, if, you know, I guess we're all entitled to our opinions. Here is Michael. Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Phil. Thanks.
Hi.
Well, you know, nobody should condemn people, but...
Yeah.
You know, one of the basic parts of the framework of learning is reinforcement, and children crave, whether they be adults or adults, they crave it, be it negative or positive. And in order for you to achieve that, which should be, I would think, your main priority, but you seem very, wanting to be a big part of your children's life. You can be their friends, but it's so much more to just be their parent. I mean, you're trying to be this other age, this cool parent, or everything's so slick and whatnot. I know Tupac Shakur, and I know Nat King Cole, and I know Tchaikovsky. I mean, I'm probably the same age as you. I'm 52. You know, and as far as that elderly gentleman who called, the thing he has above you and above me is wisdom, which comes from all the mistakes you make, in a fully lived life.
He was not aware of the fact that a lot of the, what was it, Steve?
Bebop.
A lot of the jazz musicians of his era used drugs.
It doesn't matter. I think jazz. They smoked. They smoked Mary Jane. They called it back then. Whatever. What did they call it?
Mary Jane.
You know.
Yes.
Well, that's what they call it. Yeah. A thousand names for it. Doesn't really matter. You know. But guard what you say, especially on the open airways, about illicit activities that your parents.
You got to watch that language there, Michael. But I agree with you.
What do you agree with? We're trying to do something for these kids that they don't have, which is an adult that's with it. And
when you have anybody, if you are letting anyone smoke dope on your property, y'all lawsuits, felony arrest. My God.
You could be a complicit. Am I still on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
We are not waving it around.
Listen, if you want to be something, for these kids, be an example that they can emulate and grow to respect. Not that they grow to end up thinking, well, these adults do that. It's okay for me to do that. And then they find themselves arrested. And who's their reference point? You. And you can name them as complicit in aiding and abetting, the reckless endangerment of a minor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a rap session with them. You'll find yourself arrested. Stay clear of that. You're not doing anybody any favors.
As your children grow older,
you're going to find that you're an embarrassment.
Well, I don't know if you ever rap with your kids. We do.
With them. I raised four of them. I was a stepfather to four kids. You know, I talk to them. Yeah, but I let them know where I stand. You know, I don't have to be the cool dad that lets them get away with all this kind of crap with their friends.
It's not crap. I appreciate what you're saying, Michael. I really do, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just that we are with it.
When you say with it, I don't know what that means. This gentleman has taken it from beyond with it. He's taken it into the level of parenting. You can be with it. You can be the squarest, lamest person in the world, you know.
What do you mean by that?
Well, look, my best friend, his mother was a waitress, and she came home every morning wearing her Denny's uniform. And she raised five kids, and they all turned out fantastic. They're all great kids. They love and worship their mother. She was the furthest thing from hip. She was a Denny's waitress, man, and she drank her Coors beer at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. And you're telling us we can't have herb?
About what?
What she's drinking in the morning.
She got off work at 7 o'clock in the morning and had her beer, which was her little relaxation. The point I'm trying to make is she wasn't what I would call hip.
I don't understand. She's sitting there drinking beer. You have...
This is a woman. Listen, Michael, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. This is a woman that just got off work, working really, really hard, and wanted to have a beer.
What's that got to do with it? Being with it?
She wasn't with it. She just happened to be a really good mom. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, Phil, I'm a really good mom, okay? Wow.
What's that mean?
Oh, boy.
I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, what you're saying is essentially this. Because Steve and I dress in a manner where we're comfortable, I'm comfortable wearing a little brief top. Does that make me a slut? No. Do they go, oh, Mrs. Dooley, wow, you know, she's got a nice body or whatever they're going to say? Sure they do. Does that mean I'm sleeping with them? No.
Okay, so now we're getting into an area here now where you're saying...
Phil, don't, no, please don't flatter yourself. You're not getting into some new investigative area. I wear a little brief top, and sometimes I wear a small bikini bottom, because that's how I'm comfortable. And some of the boys in Dylan's class will look at me and go, wow, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, God, look at that.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's hot. Am I flattered by that? Of course I am. Would I actually take these boys up on their offer? Of course not. Well, why are you pausing? Yeah, is it like you're waiting for me to say yes?
No, I'm a little bit... I don't like the way you put things. Let me just put it that way. I'm going to take a break here, folks. 877-876-PHIL. What?
You don't like the way I put things? Oh, my...
Put them on hold, bud. Don't put them back up in the air if I'm done talking to them. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with our final segment with Bobby and Steve Dooley when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Is it more important to be a good parent or to be a hip and with-it parent who knows who Tupac is and saw his hologram at Coachella? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Being that kind of person, you know.
Being all right, so I know you're right, we've gotten off, and welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-7445. We've gotten away from the topic of Tupac Shakur, because I did want to talk about that.
Well, Phil, we saw the hologram. It was amazing. Seeing Tupac again was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing because of what Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I know. It was on stage. I saw...
Did you say you saw a film of it? You said you saw a video of it?
Yes, I did.
That is, and I don't mean to say anything, but that's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
Steve, you know that...
Yeah, it's impossible to see a video of it because it was a hologram, and that's not going to show up.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's the funniest thing.
No, it's not impossible because I was just watching it. before the show.
That might have been just a film recreation.
Well, it was a recreation.
No, it wasn't. They didn't say anything about it being a recreation. They said it was the actual, it was a video of the Coachella performance of Snoop and this hologram of Tupac.
No, because you see, it's impossible to capture a hologram on video. Because I don't know. I liken it to the old vampire thing. You know, you can't see a vampire in a mirror. And
yeah, it's kind of like, you know.
No, I don't know about vampires.
No, I know. No, but I'm just saying. It's impossible to...
I'm sorry. I don't understand that. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know why you would say it's impossible to see a hologram on video. I honestly don't. Here is Jonathan. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, that's my understanding.
Is this Jonathan? I guess he's gone. 877-876-PHIL? Or who is this? 877-876-7445. So the hologram was what?
The hologram was of Tupac, but you can't see it on videotape.
Yeah, if you see it on videotape, you know, what that means is you're going to be probably looking at a film recreation.
No, because they didn't say anything about it being a film recreation. It was the actual hologram. Okay, and it was the actual hologram that was actually there on the clip that I was watching.
Well, I can tell you that we were watching it live, and it was really amazing. I know there's a lot of adults that are going to say, oh, I saw that too, oh, I saw that too. And I really question whether they did or not, because do they like his music, you know? Because would they be watching it if they didn't like his music? If they did like his music, then okay. But I can question a lot of adults and say, oh, you like Tupac? And they'll go, well, no, we watch it just to stay abreast of what the kids are looking at. And that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway on that.
Well, all right. I mean, fine. But that was just one part of what we were talking about. The other part of what we were talking about was the appropriateness of you smoking weed, of you wearing this bikini top, of you being involved with your kids the way that you are in this inappropriate way.
Well, that's a good deal. We didn't come on the program to talk about that in a way that we would be put down for.
You thought I would praise you.
We thought we would get some praise from other parents, but we recognize that being on a talk show...
A lot of people don't get it.
Being on a talk show, what?
I don't want to say.
The people that listen don't get it about...
don't get about Tupac and the Coachella?
Not Coachella, it's...
Coachella.
No, it's not Coachella either, oh my God.
Coachella?
Coachella,
okay. 877-876-7445. Margaret Gray is a longstanding contributor to our program. She is a journalist. She's an entertainment journalist. She's on the line here from Santa Monica. Margaret, how are you?
No, I'm doing very, very well. And good evening, Bobby. Yeah, hi. And Steve, right?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a journalist. I'm an entertainment writer. I've heard you on Phil's show before. Do you do a lot of the writing about the movies and everything, right? Let me tell you something, honey. I do writing about all kinds of things. And I'm here to tell you that, first of all, yes, thank you, Phil. You did correct the lady. It is not Coachella. Coachella would be considered obscene. Well, I know what Chota means.
Yeah, we know what Chota is.
Oh, you do? Then you would know that it's not called Coachella. We thought it was called Coachella because of the youthfulness of it. Well, you thought the promoters called it that to relate more to the youth. All right, on to another point. What, you don't agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. I happen to know the people that promote it, and they didn't call it Coachella. They call it Coachella.
Well, we know that now.
Yeah, I know that. But on to another point, if you don't mind. The next point I wanted to make about the Tupac hologram. Yes, you could see it live. yes, you can see it on videotape. And the reason why you can see it on videotape is because it is something that's actually being seen by the naked eye. Do you understand?
No.
Then, Steve, I'll do it, Steve, okay? God. Yeah, thank you. If you could get that husband under control. Excuse me? If you could get your husband under control, it'd be wonderful. My husband is under control, thank you very much. Well, he doesn't sound like it. Well, you know, I'd love to hear your husband. In fact, I think I have. You want to hear my husband? Get over here, Frank. I have heard your husband. Did you turn his oxygen on? Oh, why? Oh, you are a smartass. Get over here.
All right, ladies. Let's get back to talking about this.
Hold on. Get over here, Frank.
Yeah.
Steve?
Hi.
Okay, Frank, these are the Dooleys.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Bobby.
Yeah, that's Steve.
Hi, I'm Frank.
And, okay, now your turn. My turn for what? You can introduce your husband to me and Frank. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to lower myself. What did she say? You're not going to lower yourself.
Wait, okay, this is a little stupid.
Hold on, Phil, for Christ. Oh, God.
Yeah, it looks like that's a commercial.
Would you please have your husband, would you introduce us to your husband? Have that much dignity, please. No, I won't.
You're not going to do it.
All right, then I'll do it. Mr. Dooley, my name is Margaret Gray. Frank, where'd you go?
Frank!
Yeah, what is it?
Get over here. Mr. Dooley? Mr. Dooley? Is the host there? Is the host there? Is the host of the show there? God.
Phil.
Is Bobby Dooley there? No.
Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. We're on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. It gets out one way or another. Sometimes I don't want the truth out, and I have no choice because my very, very good friends and trusted cohorts, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, guys.
How you doing, man?
Hey! They join me every night. And we are here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're also online at philhenryshow.com, which is our website. And we have live streaming video cast of the show from philhenryshow.com, so you can watch. You can also become a Backstage Pass subscriber and gain access to over 4,500 hours of show material. I mean, we've got complete shows going back over 10 years. We also have our daily podcast, three times a week, bud?
Yeah, right now, you're thinking about making more.
That's true. We are thinking about kicking it up.
Man, you ain't got time to do that, man.
Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about me. Thank you very much, Robert. I can, you know.
No, just... Yeah, your health. What about your health?
What do you mean, what about my health? Right now, I'm healthier than either one of you guys. My health.
But, you know, you're getting on in years. Yeah, you are getting older.
Oh, well, thank you. But I think I'm okay, man. So anyway, where was I?
How you going to do podcast?
Yeah, we have three a week, and we're probably going to kick that up to maybe four or five. But go over to our website and hit the podcast banner and get the podcast. We have an episode 42, which is out today, and it is the original Kiss the Gunner's Daughter.
No way.
Yep, way.
Man, that one of the best bits that have ever been.
Spit it out, Porky.
You know, hey, okay, I didn't do anything, I swear to God.
Good. I told you guys. And you with the spit it out, Porky.
But he's all like... Bleh, bleh, bleh.
Yeah, like you... But one of these days, I'm going to put you on tape, and I'm going to force you to listen to yourself for a half an hour.
Yeah, man, that'll break you the habit of making fun of people.
Yeah, well, I better not say.
Yeah, you better not say. So in any event, go to our podcast banner, hit that, and pick up on episode 42, Kiss the Gunner's Daughter, available now. Okay. Ugly stuff. Ugly stuff in the news. one of these pieces of news has to do with a, well, I don't even want to go there. You know, we'll go there when we need to go there. The other is the ongoing violence that apparently continues to beset the Middle East with the anti-Muslim film. I read a few things about this anti-Muslim film. Apparently, the film is about on a par with, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's about on a par with this guy. A lot of these guys like Jones and some of these cats are just bagging on Islam like it's the whole thing sucks, you know? Like, for instance, if a bunch of Christians got together and, slaughtered a bunch of people, which, quite frankly, you know, so let's say Christopher Columbus was alive today, okay?
Yeah.
And he got into a ship and he came over to a country.
Well, not here.
No, not here, because we're already a country. He came over to some place that wasn't inhabited.
But that'd have to be like Antarctica.
Yeah.
Would you guys just listen to me for 5 seconds?
Sorry.
So he goes to this country, and he starts carving up people like he did when he was doing his thing. And the world says, look at these Christians, what a bunch of slaughtering animals, right? Now, sooner or later, and then they come out with a movie that says Christians are a bunch of slaughtering animals. I don't know that we're going to go out and riot, you know?
Well, I don't know, man. It's pretty bad.
Well, we're not going to go out and, like, burn down an embassy. And, well, how, you know, I just there's a difference between acting like a human being and acting like just a swine. 877-876 is our number here, and we are going to bring on the line right now Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And I know that Dean is, he and his wife both host a couple of native ceremonies there on Thursday evenings, Dean, correct? And Tuesday evenings?
We do, Phil, and we're very, very proud to have one of the tribal groups that comes to the grounds and perform some of the native ritual dancing, especially when we're ending a season and going into another. Autumnal, and the native people of North America were no different from people all over the world in terms of their observance of these equinox moments. And we're coming up on the autumnal equinox, and we have two of the troops, musical troops, from our Native Council here in Northern California. We're very proud.
Can you give me your read? You're going to be all right to talk to us, right?
Absolutely, Phil. Yeah, Amarella's here. We also have Jim Hitchcock, who's with the Native Council, our liaison, and Bethany and some people from the Holistic Center.
Give me your read on the violence now breaking out in the Middle East concerning this anti-Muslim film, or so-called, and the way that the people of the Muslims, I should say, of the Middle East are reacting.
I think that Phil, there comes a time where you can't put up with it any longer. You can't. I don't know. I've always been one who preaches that the peaceful path is the far more beneficial and the far more abundant path. I think that when we travel the road of peace, we travel an abundant road. It isn't that we're just being peaceful. It's that we are doing something that ultimately will benefit us much more than being angry, lashing out, or violent. I know, though, in my own life, when I did begin to look into the philosophies of the East, whether it was Buddhism at one time or it was the Tao Te Ching, the Lao Tzu's way of the Tao, or ultimately, of course, Zen Buddhism and yoga, I felt that I needed to use that peaceful path. But people being people will blame you for all kinds of things. They'll attack you for all kinds of things. And I was attacked.
Now, we know your history. You had a history of domestic violence.
That is correct, yes.
And you also had at one time, you were dealing drugs.
All of it is true, yes, Phil.
All right. And I don't want to belabor that. So when you came out west and you settled in...
Well, can I just...
Go ahead.
I don't want my story to sound as if it's a typical, I came to California, with flowers in my hair, and I heard the
you know, the sound of a flute in Golden Gate Park. It wasn't anything like that.
Right. It wasn't a typical 70s California story.
No, no, not at all. I came out here and I was still a very troubled man because I was a fugitive from a bench warrant had been issued for my arrest in the state of New Jersey. And so I was under a lot of stress. But we were able to get that worked out, and I did then become more involved in the holistic way. And it served me well, Phil.
And when you say the holistic way, it's a non-Christian but very spiritual...
Well, the holistic means whole. And what do we mean by that? We mean that everything connects. You can start with the spiritual, but if you look at a circle, you don't really know where that circle begins and where that circle ends. If it's a perfect circle, you can just see it as a whole continuing. And the spiritual melts into the physical melts into the mental into the emotional, and we recognize that that's how we are as humans. We are a whole, and we should see everything as a whole. And so that's what I've endeavored to believe, but it's a very difficult thing to do in an America where so many people are earthbound, and by that I mean they're materialistic. So many people in this country hunger for material goods. It seems as if we're going backwards and not forwards, and we are heading into a more and more materialistic way of being. I think what the Muslim people of the Middle East are saying is you need to stop, America, and look at your values and look at what you're doing. You're becoming like these materialistic people I'm talking about.
But I'm talking about the violence.
Yes. Well, and I've had violence against... You do get violent.
I'm talking about the violence of some of these people attacking and killing, murdering.
Well, Phil, when I began to practice prana yoga and hatha yoga and began to experience, and kriya yoga, the meditation of kriya yoga, and began to experience this as a way of life, I was taunted and I was mocked by people who thought that I was some kind of, you know, far out.
Some sort of a hippie?
Yeah, some kind of a far out, way out guy. And I remember there were days that I would grit my teeth a little bit and just say, hang on, Dean, hang on until the sun goes down, because that's when we usually had a fire pit ceremony, which included Dean and Jeff and Carrie, the guys from the tribal council, would come, and you could hear them now, and we would have this cleansing. We would have our moment of cleansing. And I had to grit my teeth and hold on.
Otherwise what?
Otherwise, I would have gotten violent.
So if someone was making fun of you practicing yoga, you see that as the same as someone making fun of Muslims?
I think that the reaction's the same. You know, I wanted to... When people said to me, oh, what are you doing with all of that ridiculous Eastern... Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you a Christian? This kind of thing. You know, you look like an idiot and you look like a fool. I felt myself wanting to physically react to strangle them or to do things to them that,
You were feeling violent.
I was feeling violent, exactly. And so what you're seeing of the Muslims in the Middle East is a very natural reaction to someone mocking your religion. And
yeah, but they committed murder, Dean.
I understand, and I think that you have to keep in mind, I wanted to commit murder when people mocked my meditation sessions that we would have on the bluffs, when we had our senior drum circle. I was laughed at, and I felt violent, like I wanted to just tell the seniors, I'm sorry, I can't do this. You're going to have to stop with our drum circle while I go outside. And you may not see me again because I'm going to kill someone, and then I'll just wait for the police to arrive.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler. Dean, that's very candid of you. I appreciate it.
Well, I think people need to understand that it can provoke this kind of a reaction.
We're talking with Dean about the Muslim reaction, some of the Muslim people's reaction to this anti-Muslim film, the violence. There was death. There were people killed. Dean says, well, if you mock a man's spirituality and religion, this seems to be a normal reaction. 877-876-7445 is our number. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, I have to tell you that Dean is at his Northern California Holistic Center. They're having a meeting there, and they have invited the tribal council of a local Native American group to participate. That's what you're probably hearing in the background. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And I said, wait here. I'm going to go out and I'll just wait for the police to arrive.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. So we're talking about this this terrible reaction to the anti-Muslim film. Have you seen this movie, by the way?
No, I have not, Phil.
I have not either. All I know is that it doesn't have very... I don't think it has a very credible endorser in... I think this Pastor Jones, this guy that was burning the Koran.
There is another example there. This man, Jones, who should know better as a pastor, but I don't really think he's a pastor. I think he is simply a, I don't know, probably some kind of politically motivated ideologue who is trying to stir it up, you know, by pretending that he's a pastor of some kind. I think that what has happened here is that there is an anti-Muslim feeling in the United States, and it's being answered by the Muslim peoples of the Middle East in a way that is extreme, but certainly one that can be understood.
Oh, but no, here's where I've got to differ with you. Understood? I don't understand killing people. Okay.
Well, I just told you, Phil, that, and I understand that your confusion.
Well, you told me that when people mock your spiritual life, you feel violent.
I think anyone does. I think anyone does. I think that haven't you felt violent? Well,
I don't have as firmly entrenched or as firmly. Kind of set into my life. A spiritual life that I, you know, identify with so much that if someone mocks it, I'm going to get violent.
Well, you told me at one time you believed in Buddhism, right?
Yeah.
Now, if someone were to say Buddha was a fat, stupid-looking, you know, he was fat and stupid-looking, you've seen the Buddha statues.
Yeah, and as they have.
They have?
Yeah.
So they've said that Buddha is fat and stupid-looking, and... that obviously is going to have some effect on you, right?
No, it honest to God, it doesn't.
Well, you said last night, you were raised Catholic, Phil. If someone took a crucifix and, I don't know.
Well, how about that guy, Robert Mapplethorpe?
All right, Robert Mapplethorpe.
He was the photographer who took a crucifix, which is the cross, and it has the figure of Jesus hanging from it. It's a very Catholic kind of religious item. You don't really see it that much with other Christian faiths, but and he had this in a pitcher of urine.
Yes, it was called Urine Jesus.
Yes.
Well, didn't that cause you to feel a sense of violence?
No, it did not. It did not. I didn't understand it, and I can't say as I would buy that piece of art or even go and see. I saw a rendering of it in the newspaper.
Well, why didn't you want to go see it?
Because it didn't look, it did look offensive, you know.
Oh, so you were offended by it?
Well, I mean, offended not to the point of, oh, God, I'm so offended, I want to go beat up the guy that made it. I just thought it wasn't my kind of thing. I didn't want to go see more of the same, you know.
What we're saying here, Phil, is the violence of the Muslims in the Middle East is a normal reaction, and I'm trying to get you to understand that you, on some level, felt violence. And
you're saying that the reaction of the Muslims in the Middle East is a normal reaction, a violent reaction, and you're trying to get me to say that I felt violent when I saw that, I think it was called Piss Jesus, that's what it was called, and I didn't feel violent.
you didn't feel violent.
No, I didn't feel violent. I felt offended by it, but I didn't feel violent.
Well, all right. And when they Buddha with the fat Buddha. And
I didn't feel violent about that either.
But I felt violent when someone made fun of us when we were meditating on the block. See, I think there's a part of you, Phil, and this is a normal reaction. It's very difficult to admit to the fact that you want, in the middle of a spiritual moment, you want to go and do physical harm to someone who's offended you. And that's what's going on with you. The Muslims, at least, are being honest about it. They're coming out and saying it. You know?
No, I don't understand that at all. No, I don't. And
look, can I...
No, you have not established that I felt violent, because I haven't. All right? I haven't felt violent. I've been offended.
Well, I think you feeling offended. When you say that you felt offended, that's... You don't want to say that you're violent. And
it hasn't been violence. It hasn't been a feeling that I want to go find a person and kill him. No, it has not.
Well, you have to live with your own conscience.
Are you calling me? Are you saying I'm lying?
I'm saying there's an untruth there.
Are you saying that I'm lying? I mean,
I think that's between you and whatever you conceive your God to be. I don't know. Your God, which, as you know, I don't believe in the God that you believe in. So your God is a very strange and very foreign God to me. I don't know. I don't know what that is. And
Are you trying to offend me now?
Well, how do you feel about that? When I say that you worship something that is very almost ugly to me, how do you feel about that?
It doesn't. I can see right through what you're doing. You're trying to make me angry.
Are you angry?
No.
And yet I got... So you're trying to establish that you're superior to me.
Why? Why would you say that I'm trying to establish that? I'm being... You don't believe that I'm being honest.
Because I said that I felt that I wanted to strangle that person that was laughing and making the noises while we were meditating on the bluff. I said I wanted to stop the meditation, and I wanted to go over there, and I wanted to hurt that person. The same thing with our senior drum circle. The Muslims wanted to burn down the embassy, and they did. And yet you are not being honest with me when I ask you again, don't you feel violent when someone says that your God is a big, ugly blob? Don't you?
No, I don't. I don't feel violent. You do, and maybe the Muslims do. I don't. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and... all of this is... No, I don't. I mean, anti-Muslim movie, no anti-Muslim movie. I don't give a crap about that editorial. It was written in USA Today by that woman who said, well, you know, we have to understand. We do. And then, of course, they use the military. Well, the military's at risk. Is it really at risk? Phil, maybe they're more at risk with you opening your big fat mouth.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
I have.
All right, welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. Yes, we do. We have an aggressive phone screening style. And
well, I think that you were extremely rude to that.
Well, look, if the guy calls me up and he says to me, if you react violently to something I said, I'm going to have to assume that what I said is true.
Yes.
All right, and hold on. And then I said to him, okay, so if I say your mother's a whore and you react violently to that, then I get to assume that your mother's a whore.
I don't think that's what he meant.
I don't care what he meant. That's why, that's why I said what I said.
Well, but you immediately said that you thought the man was stupid. And
well, of course he's stupid. That's not a very well-thought-out thought, is it? That's not something that he was even thinking about. That just came off the top of his head. That wasn't anything that he really believes. If you're going to react violently, I'm going to assume that what you said is true. Okay, your mother's a whore. And then he started to qualify.
Well, you didn't let him explain, though. You know, I mean, that...
Well, I did. He said, well, insofar as it isn't true. So, wait a minute, that's not what you said, man. You said that if I react, if something I say causes you to react violently, then I get to assume that what I said is true. And he said, yeah, and I said, okay, so your mother's a whore. And you punch me out for that, which I would expect you to do, you know.
Well, Would you want him to punch you out?
It's not a matter of whether I wouldn't say something like that. But let's say that I was dumb enough to say that. I would have to at least be smart enough to expect the guy is going to want to kill me. Okay?
And if he tries to kill you?
Okay, then according to his logic, what I said to him about his mother being a whore is true.
Look, Phil, you know, I think that the Muslim people are outraged by essentially the same thing. Their mothers have been called whores. And
so, in other words, then we get to assume that that's true?
No, you don't get to assume that it's true.
Then why are you standing up for the guy that just said that?
I'm taking up and standing up for the man that said that because the way that you spoke to him, I thought, was a little aggressive and a little rude. And I would try to say something that would get him on my side.
All right. So how would you have handled that?
I would have said to him, the Muslim people are the ones who are being called, their mothers are the worst thing you can say to a Muslim is that your mother is a motherless whore. That's the worst thing you can say in the Arab countries.
That your mother is a motherless whore.
That your mother is a, well, yes, that it works for, you can say that, or motherless, a dog, something like that, motherless, your mother or your father. And that's the worst thing you can, in the Arab world, that you can possibly say. So that when I was meditating on the Bluffs, or when we had our senior circle, or when we have our Native American drum circle, or when the tribal council does its dance, and people drive by and honk and laugh and thumb their noses, you might as well be yelling from the car, "You're motherless."
Yeah. Okay. My mother is a motherless whore.
Yes. Your mother is. Your father's. And so that kind of an insult is going to make you angry. And for you to say, no, it doesn't, really is so unfair. It's so unfair. Why won't you admit to that?
Look at Dean.
Why won't you admit to that? Please stay with me on this. Why won't you admit to that? Why won't you admit to that?
Because no one's called me that.
No one called you that. I'm talking about your mother. And
because when someone says the Buddha is fat and stupid looking, that's not calling my mother a motherless whore.
All right, it might be a bad example, but when they laugh at me, or when we were having a meditation session on a bluff, or the drum circle, or the Native American Drum Council, or the American Dairy Association, when they meet here for their prayer breakfasts, and people drive by and hang their, pull their pants down and push it up against the glass, and all of those childish things that people are going to do, that's like calling my mother, my motherless mother, it's like calling my mother's
It's like calling your mother a motherless whore.
Yes, yes. And
you get violent.
I want to take my... I want to do something bad. I'm afraid I'm going to do something bad. And when I think of that, it takes me back to those times when I was... can I ask you what that is?
Bud, what is that?
I'm sorry, that open phone line that we have, it's an intercom that we have, and it's open.
Is that the outside intercom?
Yeah.
Shut that off, okay?
Well, you're going wrong.
No, shut it off. Shut it off. All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we speak to Dean Wheeler about the Native peoples. The Native people. We're talking about the... Actually, Bud, turn that thing off, if you don't mind. We're talking about the Muslim people of the... And I can hear that this drum... Has this drum council started up again?
Yes, it has. Dean, Jeff, Gary. Honey, can you have them go inside? The drum circle has started up again, Phil. Do you mind? I simply want to take part in one of the ablutions, if you don't mind. Can you bear... If I'll hold the phone up, it might be enlightening to your audience.
Okay.
Right. And now, as we see the gray wolf begin to pass across the rock. Ow!
God. Oh, man.
What happened?
You, one of the things, don't put that there. Hey, Charlie, knock it off, please. Will you knock it off, please? Thank you. Knock it off, will you please, just for just a minute? Thank you. God almighty.
What happened?
I sat down. They had moved one of the granite stools here, and it's got a sharp edge to it, and it went right up in there. Don't put that there, honey. Darling, I'm sorry I yelled at you, darling. I'm sorry I yelled at you. All right, darling.
Is that your wife?
No, that was Charlie, one of the Indians. And I know it sounds gay, but it isn't.
You were calling him darling?
Yeah, it has to do with the passage of spirit between male and female. It's a very, it's the sectoring of positive and negative elements of the universe, Phil.
It's, all right, it's part of your ceremony?
It's part of the religious doctrine, yeah, okay. All right, and Charlie, go ahead, hit it.
All right.
As the gray wolf moves through the... Huh? I didn't order a pizza. Hold on. Eddie, knock it the hell off, will you? I don't know whether you like hearing yourself singing or something.
You know, Dean, this is beginning to sound a little comic.
I apologize, Phil.
It's just sounding a little comic, and I need for you to figure out what you want to do here. Do we want to continue to talk about this?
Yes, of course.
All right, well,
here again, you're mocking my religion.
No, I'm not mocking your religion. Two times you've started to do this ceremony, you sat down on a rock that was apparently something.
I told you, it cut right into it. Now that's as graphic as I'll get.
All right, and then you began again, and there's a pizza.
Emeralda, honey, did you order a pizza? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Phil, this is exactly what I'm talking about. When my religion, is mocked, these are the things that begin to happen.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a phone call, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. Father Jim McQuarters is going to join us here. Also, Jim Fine from last night is up. Father McQuarters, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I don't think I remember a time when you ever called me Father Jim, but I think I like that a lot, you know?
Well, you know, it's a little informal, huh?
I think I enjoy that an awful lot. Good evening to your guest, Mr. Wheeler, correct? It's Dean Wheeler, Father. Mr. Wheeler, how are you? I'm fine. I was not expecting to speak to a padre or to a shaman of the Roman Church. I can assure you, sir, I'm not a shaman. Really? Do you know what a shaman is? Yes, sir, I do. What is a shaman? A shaman is a high priest of a religion that can practice, at times, elements of magic, and I certainly don't attribute to myself any magical skills. In the middle of the Mass, when you turn the water and wine into the body and blood of Christ, that's not magic. I didn't call you, Dean, to argue with you. You might be right, you might be wrong. I'll let you have your religion if you'd like to. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I get very defensive when a shaman priest of the Roman Church calls.
I can understand that. If you wish to call me a shaman priest of the Roman Church, that's fine. And I've got no problem with it. I can tell you, Dean, though, that as you speak there, the words that you speak sound real pretty. Oh, yeah, they're pretty. But I don't know that a man of European origin, a man who has come to the North American continent...
Hold on for a minute, shaman. You can't lay that trip on me and say that I'm just another European who is who's trying to cross-pollinate. I understand these people.
Sure. I can tell you that I came here shortly after the Second World War as a very young priest. And I worked with those people. I worked and I served with those people.
Those people? Oh, wow.
I mean the native people of California, the Chumash people of California. And I worked as well with the Hopi of the southwestern desert. And I worked with quite a few of the different tribes and the tribal people. And I can assure...
Well, yeah, I noticed that, too.
What's the matter?
I just noticed the flute player. Are you going to... I'll do something about it. Hold on. Hey, Betty? No, what's with the whole boop, 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 boop? What is that? Is that jazz? Yeah.
Good. Knock it off. Okay.
Let's take a break because I've come up against the break again. All right, guys. 877-876-7445. Father James McQuarters and what was he saying?
Dad, get the flute player freelance.
Yeah, I think the flute player, I'll do a little improvising. Because he went, boop, 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 boop.
How do you do it?
Man, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler, Father James McQuarters, and the Muslim thing.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, wow. Well, you're just a regular Herbie man, aren't you? I know how to play.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Father James McQuarters along with Dean Wheeler joining us, but we're going to get to them in a moment. I wanted to just give you the background, a little more background on all of this worldwide Muslim anger over a film mocking Islam's prophet continued to spread Thursday, prompting President Barack Obama to issue a warning to countries where Americans may be in danger. President Obama, speaking at a re-election campaign rally in Golden, Colorado, said his administration had been in contact with other governments to let them know they've got a responsibility to protect our citizens. The president also said on Thursday, I've directed my administration to do whatever is necessary to protect all Americans serving abroad. Now, that goes without saying that Americans were killed in a supposedly protected embassy. And I understand it's Libya, and I understand they have a fluid situation there.
What's that mean?
A fluid situation is, they don't have their feet on the ground yet in Libya. They just got rid of Gaddafi. They've got some interim sort of governance there. Anyway, the American diplomatic offices everywhere have seen their security beefed up. There are contracted aircraft being kept on the runways in major cities so they can ferry out evacuated personnel. The spreading violence comes as outrage grows over an obscure movie made in the United States called Innocence of Muslims that mocked Islam's prophet Muhammad. The first of the protests against the film began in Cairo outside of the U.S. Embassy there on Tuesday. Protesters rushed embassy grounds, taking down and tearing up the American flag, flying at half-mast in commemoration of 9/11 before security forces turned them away. So there we have, even on a sacred day like 9/11, doesn't make any difference to those cats, man. You know, to us, 9/11 is a very, very sacred day. To Muslims, well, the Prophet Muhammad is very, very sacred. Dean Wheeler and Father James McQuarters. Dean, would you say that's a fair trade? I mean, they've killed, more Americans are dead at the hands of extremist Muslims.
I think that's very unfair of you, Phil. Phil, can I?
Go ahead, Father.
I'm talking. No, but I just wanted to say one thing. I'm sorry, Dean, but I'm talking, sir. All right, go ahead. God. What I was going to say before this priest interrupted me is that I think it's very unfair of you, Phil, to say that more Americans are dead at the hands of Muslims. What does that mean exactly? Are they going to start now? All right. We're starting the ceremony again, Phil.
All right, but I want to talk about this. I'm not really interested in what's going on there.
All right, so you want to mock my religion. Phil, this is Father McQuarters. I have to say something to you, Dean. All right? Hold on for a minute. I'm in the middle of my religion, Father, okay? My religion, all right? This isn't your shaman religion. This is mine. Do you mind? All right, I'll talk to Phil about it then. I would appreciate it if both of you would not talk while I'm doing this.
I'm not going to do... No, I came on here and brought you on here.
You came on? What, is this my radio show?
No, you came on my show...
Yes?
...to talk to me about this. So we're either going to do that or I talk to Father McQuarters.
Well, I'm going to go and do what I'm... Bill, listen. Dean's right to this extent. La, la, la. Yeah, I'm just going to keep making noise.
What a baby.
Well?
Go ahead. Say whatever you want to say.
Thank you. Well, I was... Dean, this is Father McQuarters. You keep saying who it is. I know it's you. I want to say something. I think that it is absolutely understandable that a man would become sickened in his soul and sickened in his spirit to hear mocking and transgressive words against a religion, against a spiritual belief that he holds dear. I can totally understand that.
But when you take it to the point that you take a human life, then it doesn't matter what country you're in, it's a degenerated and it is an evil thing.
But you have to understand, these are Libyans, they're not... you have no understanding of the third world sensibilities.
They're Libyans and what?
Yeah, what does that mean?
They're Libyans, meaning they don't have the same understanding. See, I'm not. You're not going to trap me. You're not going to trap me into saying they're a bunch of barefoot bugging, you know, they're a bunch of barefoot bugging turban weirdos. I'm not going to say it because that's what you want me to say.
No, I don't want you to say that.
I wasn't thinking that. You're both lying. It's really amazing that I called your show and you lied, Mr. Henry, at the beginning of the hour, and now Father McCorders is lying.
I was not going to call them a bunch of barefoot, bugging, turbaned weirdos. That's what you said. I was not going to attribute to the Libyan people or anybody in the world a primitive status or stature that would bespeak some inability to you know, rationally view things. But they got angry, man. Religion in some parts of the world still is a reason for going to war, you know?
Well, right there, okay. So you're saying they're primitive, too, just like I am.
But do you want us to see them as primitive, Dean, or do you want us to see them as people that are evolved and are deserving of our respect? Which is it, Dean?
I want you to see them as evolved, but also they're primitive.
All right, so wait a second. So in other words, it's almost like the Ramar of the jungle thing, man. So if you... Hold on for a minute. So if you go into the jungle and you cross the sacred river, you deserve to get your head handed to you by the natives because you've gone into the land of the monster.
Yes, it sounds primitive, and it's not the way that we think in the West, but that's exactly correct. How many jungle movies do we need to produce? How many?
Yes, but the two of you are talking about a jungle movie. I don't think they've made one like that in quite some time.
Well, they haven't made one in quite some time, and it is very decidedly a colonial point of view, to be honest with you, Dean. It's a colonial point of view to say, I better not say bad stuff about this, you know, very sacred thing, otherwise I'm going to get my ass kicked.
That's exactly correct. What's wrong with that?
But that's like saying what Phil was saying. It's like saying, I don't go, you better not wanna, don't go over the river, the bad creature lives there.
Well, yes, it does.
Yeah, that's what we mean by jungle movie mentality.
Oh, boy, you guys really don't mind walking on the wild side, do you? Jungle mentality. To all of you Muslims that are listening, how do you like Mr. Henry comparing you to a bunch of, interior, African interior slaves in diapers carrying boxes on your heads? Thank you, and have a very pleasant good evening. Boy, tell him to...
Dean, you know what? If you hang up, I'm not going to think very highly of you, and I may not have you back on.
All right, I'll stay.
The point that has been made here is that it's a primitive way of thinking.
It's a primitive way of thinking to say the following thing. To say, you must understand why the Muslim people got angry, even though we don't do that in our country, they do. That's a primitive kind of thinking because you're basically thinking the way those cats thought in those jungle movies when they said, I better not go across the river and offend the native god because, you know, we'll get cooked and eaten. That kind of thing.
Oh, my God. You really think that they're a bunch of primitive people? We're modern people, Mr. Henry. Modern people. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Shut up. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show is coming back with other news, bizarre news. A suspect identified in a broad Phil daylight Henry. Attack in Central Park, New York. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our news and information hour coming up. Bauer, I know I'm talking a little fast. We've got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. One of the things that I want to mention to you, wasn't too long ago I said to you, stay tuned for a new way to listen to the Phil Henry Show. Well, I bet you thought I forgot about that. No, I didn't. That day is fast approaching. As a matter of fact, this week, we're going to unveil Phil Henry Radio philhendrickshow.com. So I want you to be on the lookout for that. And I can tell you that it's going to be unveiled very, very shortly. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are online at philhendryshow.com. That is the online home and headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And with a backstage pass, you can watch live video of our show right now. It's Phil TV in HD. It's a gorgeous picture with the roiling Pacific, El Pacifico surf behind me. And we also have our thousands of hours of archived audio. We've got our news feed. We've got our daily podcast. We've got our Classic Phil podcast. We have just all kinds of other fun little gizmos and things that are happening over there. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. It's the best, absolutely, without question, hands down, the single best buy in terms of a subscription on the Internet. I don't care what anybody tells you. It is absolutely the single best. Unless, of course, you want to throw your subscription money away on some radio show that gives you 2-minute clips here and a couple of minutes of clips over there and some stupid, firewall for a newspaper that, hey, let's pay for news that we can read tomorrow for free. All right, 877-876-7445. Lloyd Bonafide is going to join us here. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. He is a long-time retired professional man, had a heating and plumbing service for the longest time out in Alhambra, California. He's joining us on our Newsmaker line here this evening to talk about a little 7-year-old boy, your grandson. Today was his birthday, huh, Lloyd?
And that is exactly right, Phil. The, if you can hear me.
I can hear you fine, Lloyd. What is your grandson's name?
Yes, sir. My grandson is Ted, and he turned 7 today.
What did you give him for his birthday?
I gave my grandson, I gave him a basketball, and his grandmother and his mother and I, we all went in, we got him some clothes, but I know you're asking me about what I got him.
And yes, I am, sir.
I got my grandson a .22 caliber handgun, a Smith & Wesson .22 caliber handgun, and I've gotten him signed up for the gun safety classes over here at the corral, which is a shooting range over here. And I can tell you something else, too. You asked me before we went on the air that his mother was not happy with me, and neither is his grandmother.
And what about his father?
This guy that my daughter married, I don't know what his opinion is, but I can imagine that I don't have a very high opinion of him. So,
what would you imagine his opinion is?
Well, I haven't heard from him, so I will tell you that I know he's probably scared of me, but or something, maybe he agrees with it, but I don't care. It's my grandson, and I'll tell you this too, Mr. Hendry. We're living in a day and age now where gun safety and gun training can't come too early. Now, that is the absolute truth, and I want to ask you right now, sir, what do you think about it, about me doing that?
I don't know what to think of it. I don't want to give an opinion, and I'll tell you why.
No, you don't get a... What do you think about me giving my grandson a .22 handgun?
I will tell you this, that the mother's opinion is should come first.
You're talking about my daughter.
Yeah, your daughter, his mother, her opinion is that he shouldn't have that gun.
That's right. That's why we're keeping it here. And when he comes to visit... Well, guess what? Grandpa and he are going to be out over at the corral with the gun safety, and once he gets proficient enough, we've got targets out here in the backyard.
And well, what if they stop letting him come over to the house?
They're not going to do that because you don't know my daughter and this guy she married. We are basically the only babysitters they've got because they're always going someplace or doing something, and no, this... She's... If they don't let him come over and visit us, then that can mean only one thing, that they're going to be staying home more, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, here's the point. You got this child a gun, and you got him signed up for gun safety, and he's over with you guys this weekend, right?
He's good. He was with us for the entire week because his mother's taking a training course, a nursing course in New Mexico. And her the guy that my daughter married, the father, is in Nevada. He's got on a job. He builds mining equipment, and they've gotten a contract over there.
All right, so they're both out of town, and so they've got this little boy with you. And you now have this child, and they know that you have this gun that you bought him.
That you better believe it. You better believe it. Let me tell you what's going on, just so you know. This world that we live in is becoming a madhouse. And the sooner we get these young people trained to utilize and brandish a weapon properly, and one of the ways that you make this, you can make it fun for the kids, is you teach them those tricks that they see, but you got to get them ready.
And do you really think there's going to be 7-year-old kids with guns out there?
I'm telling you, if I have my way, the kids will know how to use a gun, yes, sir.
And no, but I'm talking about, do you really think the kids will be out there in the world at the age of 7 or 8 holding a pistol in their hand?
If they know gun safety, that may be the only thing, mister, standing between you and your grave is a well-trained 8-year-old boy. And let me tell you something.
I can't even imagine a world like that.
We're living in that world, mister. We're living in it right now. And let me tell you something else. You know, this has been a very tough day for me, looking at all the news. But the kids are going to want to learn the fun things about a gun, and you make it fun for them. And I mentioned you can teach them the tricks where they spin the gun around like the Wild West did. You can teach them how to spin it up near their ear, and they become, it's fun for them, you know. And
do we need to make it fun for this? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the gun is a deadly thing. Do you really have to make things more fun for the kid?
Well, what it does is it convinces the adults that, you know, this is not just a gun. It's something that the child can learn to use as a form of entertainment if you want. I'm not talking about a loaded gun now, but you can go out onto the football field at halftime, as I did when I was a young boy growing up. And I remember I was part of Ringtail Bob. If you remember Ringtail Goose and Bob, and their six-shooters. And it was a bunch of us. We were 10 years old at the time, and we came out wearing the big fur chaps and big 10-gallon hats. And we did it at halftime shows, and we twirled the guns, and we did it to the what was the song? I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. I'm an old cowhand. I'm on the Rio Grande. And you spin the gun. And
you guys did this at halftime at football shows.
Football shows?
I mean, you did it a halftime show at a football game?
Yeah, that's what we did. We'd come out. I don't know what you meant by a football show.
The halftime show is what I meant.
Yeah, we went out, and they had this song playing. I'm an old cowhand on the Rio Grande, and we came out wearing the big fur chaps and the oversized 10-gallon hat, and we spun the gun. And it was a lot of fun, and it also taught us gun safety. And let me tell you, there were times in Korea when my mind, and I don't know how we made it out, there were times when I thought I'd breathe my last. And I wouldn't make it back to the States or to my wife or to anybody. And all I could think about was standing on that football field with that big hat on. And the song, I'm an old cowhand and I'm on the Rio Grande. And I've got a giant hat. And when I felt myself in the giant hat, boy, a lot of Chinese died. And I know I'm getting emotional.
Well.
Well,
all right. I'm going to take a break here, okay?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd Bonafide with us here, who's given his 8-year-old son a .22 for his birthday. 877-876-PHIL. I mean, how young is too young? A .22 pistol for his birthday. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And by the way, folks, I am not a gun control nut. I believe in the right to bear arms. I believe in the use of guns as a defensive weapon. I believe in all of it. I believe me when I tell you. But how young is too young when it comes to giving a gift of a gun to a child? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us, who's a Korean War veteran, owner of the, at one time owner of one of the biggest heating and plumbing businesses in Alhambra, California. But we're talking tonight more along the lines of family and especially kids, and we're talking guns. And there's a reason, obviously, what with, shall we say, recent events. Lloyd, is that what got you thinking about this?
Well, let me tell you, I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about this, Phil, a lot longer before than... See, I don't have to... I don't need a news event to wake me up. I'm very familiar, having been in a war, as I was in Korea, I'm very familiar with the necessity of firearms in private life to protect the home. So I didn't have to have any news story to wake me up. I've got a grandson that I love very much. I've got a daughter that I love very much. My wife, and this is our family, and I would hate like hell. And I would feel guilty until the day I died if something happened to my grandson, and I knew that I could have put a training and a weapon in his hand. If that young man had been trained, I would have been able to do that. So I gave him that gun.
Now, what are you going to say to people who are gun advocates, who think that the ownership of guns should be protected? I mean, I recognize there's a lot of so-called gun control people. I don't think they even know what it is they're talking about.
Well, you said that right. They don't know what they're talking about.
All right, but I mean, let's just leave that aside for a moment. What do you say to people who say that the kid is too young and that the kid is, this is going to be dangerous?
No, you're never too young to learn to operate a weapon safely. And I get a little tired of people saying that you got to, you know, that it's too unsafe and this and that. I can train that boy in the backyard. Hold on for a minute. Come here for a minute. Chad, come here. You know, let me tell you something else, Phil. Chad, come here, son. I'm going to take you. I've got a target set up in the backyard here, Phil. Now let's go outside. And I want to mention something to you, Phil, if I could, because it's a very important piece of information here. My grandson, who I love very much, was named by, and this is one of the reasons why I've always had a problem with his mother and particularly the guy that my daughter married, because they gave him a name that I just think is the, if ever there was a name that, boy, I can't believe I'm getting emotional about it. If ever there was a name that tipped a young man off as, if I can use the word, as a douchebag, this is the name that they put on my son. And it so upsets me. All right.
What name?
Chad. I told you his name is Chad. Come on, Chad.
And you think that's the name of a douchebag?
Yes, sir, I do. All right, we've got a little bit of a... We've got a swollen stream here tonight, Phil. You can hear it running next to the range here. Come here, son.
Now, what are you going to do?
Well, first of all, let me explain. I'm going to do something that you don't have any business directing, Mr. Hendry. We're going to do a little target practice. All right, you see over there?
Mm-hmm.
And that is your target.
God. Put the thing down! Put it down!
Okay, I heard more than one shot.
Yep. What are you doing? I didn't know. Yeah, you didn't know. You better believe you didn't know. Yep. God almighty, you don't fire it more than once. What am I doing? Yes, you know, because Grandpa taught you how. Damn!
You're going to get somebody killed out there.
What's that?
You're going to get somebody killed.
Oh, shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up. I got you on the air right now.
Hold on. Chad, your mother gave you the name. Chad, you know that you have the name of a douchebag, don't you? Grandpa's going to fix that, but you can't kill Grandpa before you... All right.
Well, that's a heck of a way to talk to a kid, man.
Hey, why don't you shut up, okay, talk show host? Let me do my business here. All right, there's the target. See? Downrange. You see, you got it locked on?
I think so.
Well, don't think. You see it? Here, let me go out and... Oh, come on! What are you doing? Don't fire when I'm going to walk in front of you.
Boy, you got some gun safety going there, don't you?
Hold your horses. What are you doing, Chad?
Chad, you're going to need...
You don't fire the gun when Grandpa was walking down range to straighten the target.
Yeah, nothing.
Jeez. You want to kill me? Is that what you're trying to do? Kill me.
No, Grandpa.
So that's some real good gun safety there, Lloyd.
Ease it back, will you?
And by the way, making the kid feel even better about himself by saying he's got the name of a douchebag.
Oh, Phil, everybody knows that the name Chad... is the all-time champion douchebag name. So don't start in with me on that. Don't even go, you know, I'm very clear. I'm locked in on that one.
Oh, good.
All right, now, here we go, Chad. Remember to, you see? Now, when you put your finger on the click, don't do it yet!
What?
This kid is firing.
Hold on for a minute. Don't quit talking, will you? You know, Chad, don't do that until Grandpa takes his hand off of the thing. Hey, what the hell are you doing? Oh, why don't you mind your own business? I haven't thought about the ride. What's that? I think that's the side of my garage. So I got the side of your garage. So what? It needs a paint job anyway. Oh, you're going to have the fire, huh? Yeah, that's right.
Boy, you're going to have the cops there in a minute. You know that?
Oh, why don't you just listen and learn, okay? I'm an old cop myself. Yeah, now you gave the guy an idea. You go ahead and call the cops, Raleigh. What? You go ahead and call the cops. I don't care. All right, Chad. Let's go out with a bang, okay? Now, you see down there? You see that? What? No. God! You think that's funny, huh?
That kid is not listening to you. Get that gun out of his hands.
Down here in the garage! Yeah, that's right. Paint your garage in it, or won't you? Oh, the name? Yeah, that beat.
You got a neighbor that's upset with you, and you got a kid that's firing a gun way too many times here, and it doesn't sound to me like you got any kind of a control over this. What are you doing, man?
What are you doing? No, that's the... What do you want?
I'm going to take a break.
You take your break there, talk show host. Hey, Raleigh.
You know, you're a very smart-ass guy, Lloyd. You know that?
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, Raleigh. You paint that garage, it won't look any... Right there, it looks like a barn. Why do you think I'm shooting at it? You look private. I'm not painting for anything. Here, dance. Yeah.
I'm calling the cops.
No, you're not.
877-877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Go ahead, dance for me. Yeah.
Phil Hendry. world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Sorry.
All right, we're back here with Lloyd Bonafide, and we're talking here about gun safety, and I just heard an example of gun safety that is not an example at all, Lloyd, and you know as well as I do that, what I heard there is it would get you arrested, and you're very, very lucky there's no police out there tonight.
Well, I thought you were going to call the police. That's what you were saying.
I should have. Multiple shots? You got a neighbor? You're putting bullets into this guy's garage?
That is where I'm teaching that boy, my grandson, my only grandson. After that child, I don't have anybody else. My daughter, this guy she married, and my grandson. That's it. And you understand what that means to a man when he's lived his life? I've been to war. I got married. I had a daughter. I raised her the best way I could, built a business. And now, you know, here comes my boy, my grandson, and I have to swallow the bitter pill. That child is named, and you know that his grandmother and I, we raced to the hospital because I knew what she was going to do. And I raced to the hospital, and I begged her, I said, and she said, the deed is done, as she laid there in bed. And, you know, I should have more mercy on my son-in-law. I call him the man that my daughter married, but you were talking to a guy last hour about how big the rear end gets. My son-in-law, the guy my daughter married, the poor man, he suffers with it every day.
And suffers with what?
Three guesses. You were talking last...
Oh, what a childish thing to say. What a childish thing to say about your own daughter.
I love my daughter very much. But as she lay there, and I knew as she lay there, with every second that she lay there, her ass was getting bigger, and I knew what that man that she married was going to have to deal with. I said, will you give me at least one thing? She's laying there, understand? Laying there waiting for her ass to get bigger, and I said, just give me, your father, one thing. One thing I can take to my grave. A grandson with a name like a man, you know, a man's name. God.
I can't believe you get twisted up thinking about stuff like that. You just had the kid in the backyard with a gun going off.
He was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. That guy, Raleigh, I've known that guy as long as I've been in this neighborhood. We're the two oldest guys on the street, and all he knows how to do is come out of his house at night and yell at people. He goes out at night yelling at people. There's no one there. And the only other guy on the street that was as old as us was Carruthers, and you know what happened to him.
That's the guy that committed suicide.
You better believe it.
Yeah, and I know why he did, too.
Hey. You watch that.
I know why that man killed himself. So you watch it.
Mr. Hendry, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't say anything to my son, not my grandson.
You know, that's between you and your family, so just you watch the way you talk to me.
All I'm trying to tell you is that I raced to the hospital the morning that sweet boy was born, and I begged my daughter, I said, don't name him Chad. You name him Chad, and you've given him a douchebag's name. I told her that. I said it straight up. I looked her in the eye, and she said, the deed is done. She showed me the hospital registration card, and then she collapsed into a snoring nap. And I mean, she rolled over, and she started with that big rear end, started cutting logs. You hadn't heard it. It was like a freight train going south. And I stood there. I stood there in that hotel, in that hospital room, I mean, with the guys she married staring at me like he was about 600 yards of stupid. And I looked between him and the card and my snoring big-ass daughter, and I saw the name on the card, Chad. Chad Plimpton.
I never did know your daughter's married name. That's her name?
Yeah, Plimpton. You ready for that? She's married to a guy named Paul. My daughter's name is Patricia. We call her Patty. I said, the least you can do is have the decency is not name my grandson that starts with a P. And she goes, don't worry about it. I gave him the name Chad.
Paul Plimpton and Patty Plimpton.
Yeah. Go ahead and laugh it up, funny man.
Sorry, I mean...
Hey! You know, I've got to live with that every day of my life. I've got to get out of bed and look at a grandson and say, hi, Chad.
Where did you ever get the idea that the name Chad was a douchebag's name?
Oh, are you kidding? Where you been? Where have you been?
I don't know. What do I know, man?
You look up douchebag and there's a guy named Chad next to, I don't know. Stands to reason, don't it?
No, it does not stand to reason. I don't have any idea where you get these. You know, it's kind of like saying the name Todd belongs to gay guys. I guess we don't have much to, you know, keep us occupied these days. We come up with these stupid things. I will just tell you this much, Lloyd. Whether the child's name is Chad or whether or not your son-in-law is an idiot or your daughter's ass is too big, or I don't know. But having that boy standing out back tonight with you, and those rounds going off, it sounded like they were going off every which direction, into the ground, up in the air, into this guy's garage.
You leave my grandson to me. And
yeah, that's fine, okay? And, you know, this world has been built on the graves of some people and their children who thought they knew best.
Well, what are you trying to say? Come on, I'm a war veteran. I've been around weapons.
That doesn't sound like it to me, the way you had that kid out there tonight. And he's got him hearing these guns. What do you mean you're firing into some guy's garage?
That guy, Ray, that guy would be unhappy if I wasn't putting bullet holes in his house. He'd be miserable if somebody wasn't shooting at him. Him and Steelworth, the only two guys on the block that ever were in WW2, and they both lorded over me like they're big shots.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know the intrigues that go on in your neighborhood, okay?
Well, you know,
yeah, except for Carruthers, I know that.
I'm begging you not to say anything to the boy.
I won't say anything. I'm just telling you, you have to be very careful. And as far as arming kids, I don't know, man. I don't think that's the answer.
Oh, yeah, man? Okay, man. Like, wow, Daddy-O.
And I'm not talking beatnik talk. Boy, Lloyd, get into the 21st century or just, you know.
Oh, what? Go ahead and tie off my air hose? Yeah. Go ahead and unplug the machine. I don't want to be talked to like I'm a beatnik. I've told you that.
I'm not talking. I'm just telling you, if you'll listen to me, that I believe that's an irresponsible way to teach a kid weapon safety, and I think he needs to be older. That's just my opinion. I know you don't think much of that, and I know that it's more important for me to hear you about the kid having a douchebag's name and your friend Raleigh, and Carruthers was asking for it, and your daughter's ass is too big, and your son-in-law is about 600 yards of stupid, even though you do empathize with him when it comes to your daughter's big ass.
Well, you just about covered it all. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Lloyd. Good luck to you.
Well, now, wait a second. You said that I was going to get the whole hour.
Well, I'm all done with you, man. I don't need to stay on the line and wait for you to kill yourself or your son with that gun.
How dare you?
Okay, that...
You're going to call back and give me a rash or a crap.
Well, that's tough, because I don't want him on the air again. If you see him calling, you know what line he's calling on, man. Don't answer the line.
What do you mean what line he's calling in on, man? They're all different kind of line.
Don't you know what line he's calling in on?
No, I don't know what line he's calling. You can call the juice maker line. Come on, I'm going to touch him.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, then you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. So there's Lloyd Bonafide and the story of his 7-year-old son learning gun safety. Sounded pretty safe to me. World famous Phil Hendry Show here. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video of the show as well as the archives. We're going to come back with our news and information and news and information hour and other stuff, other news, other big news, other small news, other little news, other big news. It's a weird, wacky, ugly world today. We'll talk about it on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I'm not
going to
call your stick of
Phil Hendry Show.
Call you back. I got better things to do.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now on the Phil Hendry Show, Iron Swine.
Hey, I just want, and we're, and by the way, we have special effects on this one today.
Yeah, we have. Got a special effect?
Yeah, I got it. Hey, on Iron Swine, Iron Swine goes to visit the man, his wife hired her idiot brother to fool with the brakes. He's going to go and tell the guy.
Yeah, hello. This is the Iron Swine office.
Yeah, hey. I'm on the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my wife's got her brother. He's under the car, and he's got the mind of a five-year-old.
Yeah, that sounds like a job for Iron Swine.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're going to send Iron Swine.
So we send Iron Swine over this guy. Now I'll be the guy.
Yes, this is Iron Swine.
Yeah, I come out here to my Jaguar, and my wife's brother's under there fooling around.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Duh.
Get out of here, you dumbass.
Duh. Thank God, Iron Swine. I didn't think...
You can phone.
Oh, are you back at the office?
Yeah.
Thank God, Iron Swine. You got rid of that dumbass.
Yeah, Dad, all I did was use my coat to shoo him away.
Thank God for Iron Swine. Even when he only used a coat to shoo away a dumbass.
Iron Swine.
God.
What?
I don't know what to say. It's just they get better and better.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Robert's aunt, Mavis Leonard, on the line with us. Mavis, dear, the reason why we called you is because Robert had been talking to us, huh, about the shows you're watching. Okay, is she...
Hey, Avi.
I'm on right now. I've seen that show. Helen Mirren show.
Okay, dear, we didn't have you on the air. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. I heard my nephew yelling at me. You don't have to yell at me, Robert.
I know. Miss Leonard, I want to know you there.
I'm here. Does it sound like I'm someplace else? I'm here.
No, I don't laugh.
Don't yell, fool. You yell, it go right through my skull.
Yeah, okay. Miss Leonard, just want to know.
Oh, man. You yell, that's piercing my skull. Oh, it goes through the skull.
All right. Well, this is Phil.
Yes, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good, Mavis. What show are you watching now?
I'm looking at my... I've got my DVD.
Okay, it's a DVD.
You want more DVD? What?
Oh, man. Oh, baby, that goes through the skull. Every time you open your mouth, you remind me of your father. That big la-la-la-la-la-la-la. My brother, you know, was this man, Robert's father, you know. He died, had a heart attack, and then come back. Man had a big business, you know.
My dad died of a heart attack.
I tell him, Mr. Henry, that you don't have to repeat it.
I'm sorry to hear that. What happened?
He had a business over here, had a machine shop, you know, and he did all kinds of work over there. He did that, a heart attack one day. I always tell people it's because they sent Robert over to give him lunch, and he finally took one good long look at what this kid was turning out to be and just went, oh, Lord, just, you know, fell over.
That's mean, because I got a big head.
You got the biggest head of any man I've ever seen in my life. It's three times the size of your father's head. Abnormally large.
No, I don't see that. I mean, Robert's right in front of me.
No, his head is abnormally large. That's why, anyway, I tell him that every time he go to sleep on the couch, you know, he fall off the couch. But only his head does. The rest of him stays on the couch.
Yeah, well, that's better than the last time you said all these people come over and spend the night at your house.
All these people come over and spend the night at my house. Just people at my bridge party.
But they're falling off the couch.
They fall, a whole body fall off the couch, not just the head.
Okay, can we just, I don't know.
That's the weirdest thing I ever heard.
Is that idiot?
Yes, ma'am, it's Bud.
And you are. You're strictly from hunger, son. Oh, man.
His head ain't that big.
No, his head ain't big, but his head's bent. You got a big head, and he got a head that's caved in.
Okay, I wanted to ask you...
You don't have to yell like Robert, you know. The two of you guys, you go, okay, it goes through my skull like lightning. It's like a bolt of lightning going through my skull every time I hear you or Robert say something.
What are you talking about, Alan?
Oh!
I'm sorry, is this better?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
What are you watching right now?
I told you, I'm looking at my DVD.
You're looking at a DVD of what?
Are you listening to him looking at a DVD of what? Or looking at a DVD of TV show?
What's the name of the TV show?
Oh.
Yeah, what? On TV?
Oh. Ow!
Shut up, Robert. I'll do it, okay? What's the TV show?
Oh. I'm going to start bleeding from the nose. I got to listen to that boy again. He's going to come over here. I know you're spending the night here, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, damn, now I got to find, I got to get out to Esther Dive Inn and make sure your head don't fall off the couch.
What is the DVD you're watching?
I'm watching a DVD of Prime Suspect with a Helen Mirren. I love this show so deeply.
Yeah, we like all them PBS show, a BBC show too.
I'm telling a man. I'm telling a man about that.
Oh, you like that show, Helen Mirren? Prime Suspect, huh?
Oh, yeah, I love that show. I look at that show. And I also look at that show, Downtown Abbey. I like that show too.
Now, what is that show about?
Oh, it's a wonderful show about all these white people. Sticking each other in the back, you know. I love that. They're all very wealthy whites, and all they do is shank each other in the back every episode. It's a beautiful thing. I like that show, and then I watch Cat House, and then I go to sleep.
And what is Cat House?
That one on Cinemax.
Yeah, that's a show on Cinemax about a man on a cat house.
Is that right? I've never heard of that show.
Oh, yeah, it's a good show. This is a real dumbass. He's going to get himself arrested, I know that. Every week I look at that show, Cat House, waiting for this guy to get arrested. He got a whorehouse over there, you know. It's fun. It's very relaxing to watch that.
So those are your favorite shows. Well, we wanted to ask you that because we were talking about these shows tonight. Have you ever seen The Tudors?
No, that's that show Robert Walker. That's a stupid-ass show if ever I've seen one. It got that one man I think is a latent homosexual.
You talk about Maurice Davies.
Oh, will you shut up, please?
Is he he's talking about Martin, what's the guy's name, Rhys Davies or something like that?
I don't know what his name is, but he's the one to play King Henry.
Right, I think that's the guy.
That's the most homosexual show I've ever seen. I will not allow myself to see that. I will not allow myself, as a Christian, I'll not look at that show.
And that's the Tudor show, though.
I don't care what it's called. It doesn't make any difference to me. So that's what you call a cabinet or someplace you hang your clothes, Tudor. Or something like that.
I said it sounded like it's four-door.
Tell that kid with a caved-in head to shut up.
You gotta shut up, man. My audience can't take it.
I can't take you either.
And all right, okay, so you're watching The Tudors. Anything else?
I watch The Tudors, and I watch that, I don't know. No, I don't watch The Tudors.
I mean, you're watching Prime Suspect, you watch Downton Abbey. What else?
I watch, I like to see that show they have on EastEnders.
Yeah, the EastEnders, that's an old show.
Is that one of the old British shows?
Yeah, I love that show. All them Cockney people, they sound like a bunch of dumbass. I love them. I like any show where they all sound like dumbasses. But I love the EastEnders because they sound almost as dumb as my nephew. Talking all that mess, you know?
Yeah, they're all talking like things like, Hey, how's it like we go get a spot of tea like that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, say I'll go get a spot of tea. Oh, say I'm gonna go have myself some. Here's what he says: I'm gonna have some bangers and mash, eh? It sounds like that Adele bitch. You ever heard her?
All right, let's not call anybody a bitch.
I'm sorry. Have you ever heard Adele?
Yes, I have.
Did you hear that woman on a Grammy show?
I did, yeah.
Oh Lord, she sounds like she ought to be pushing a cart down the street someplace over there, that old blimey, it won me a Grammy. How about that?
Hey, I won a Grammy, blimey, I won a Grammy, hey, I got a pot of tea.
The hell is wrong with you?
I'm just doing an Adele impression.
I do the Adele impression. You don't do no Adele impression. I do them all. I got Adele covered here. I'm going to do it for, going to have our church social on Sunday, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What, are you going to do Adele?
What's that mean?
I mean, are you going to do an impression of her?
Yeah, I'm going to do an impression. I get up, I'll say, I want some bangers and mash. I put on my a big white ass, right? You know, because she got a big ass.
All right, well, have fun watching television. We just wanted to check in.
Hey, I'll be home right after the show.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Good night, Ms. Leonard.
Get your head fixed, son.
Get my hair fixed?
Your head. God, oh, man.
I think we woke her up or something.
No. She's always waiting, walking on the TV. And she got a DVD playing everything. That's why she's walking on the DVD.
She's watching her DVDs. Does she even know what it is she's watching?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes she don't, though.
She just puts those DVDs in and lets it go, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of old people are like that.
Well, all right. Well, thank your aunt when you see her again for the TV review. I really appreciate that.
Excuse me, I almost threw up.
Yeah, I tasted some throw-up, too.
Well, that's really nice to know. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.